Bibles and turn to the book of John, please. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 34 this morning for our text, this new section, as we continue our way through the Gospel of John. And so follow along as I read here. In beginning in verse 19, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest in Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." We're going to consider this section, this new section of John chapter 1, and we're going to consider Christ's forerunner, who is John the Baptist. We've seen Christ the Word incarnate, and now we're going to consider Christ's forerunner. And as our usual pattern is, I want to give you an overview of this passage here before we dig into the specifics of it, so that you can kind of get an understanding, an overview of all that's happening here. In verses 19 through 26, what we find is the Jews' inquiry of John the Baptist and all of his answers. In other words, the Jews come to question John about who he is. We find questions like in verses 19 and 20, where the Levites and the priests came from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" In verse 20, we find John's answer. He said, "I am not the Christ." And we'll talk about that today. Then in verse 21, they said, "Well, are you Elijah then?" And John's answer is no. Then they said, "Well, are you that prophet?" And we'll talk about that as well, what that means. But John's answer again is no. And then they asked him another question that's a really important question that we're going to really ask ourselves this morning. "What sayest thou of thyself?" His answer was, "I'm a voice." And they asked him, "Why are you baptizing?" He said, "To prepare the way of the Lord, to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ." And then in verse 27, we find John's witness concerning Christ. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." In verse 29, we find John's proclamation that Jesus is the Lamb of God. In verses 30 and 31, we find the purpose of John's baptism is revealed. He says in verse 30, "This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest in Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." Then in verses 32 and 33, John tells of the Holy Spirit of God descending on Christ at his baptism and prophesies that Jesus Christ would baptize with the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 34, which really culminates this whole section and really gets back to the whole theme of the Gospel of John. John declares Jesus Christ's deity. In verse 34, he said, "I bear record that this is the Son of God." Now, even just a cursory reading of this portion of Scripture, we would see and find that John the Baptist is the prominent character that is really in view in this section. And it doesn't take a whole lot of study. And if you know the Gospels, you find as well that John the Apostle presents John the Baptist completely differently than the other three Gospels present John the Baptist. For example, I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 3. Just keep your place here and look back in Matthew chapter 3. In verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.'" Now note how Matthew presents John the Baptist, but also presents Jesus Christ. Entirely different than the Gospel of John. In John, there's no hint of John's raiment being of camel's hair. In the Gospel of John, there's no hint of John the Baptist having a leather girdle about his loins. There's no mention that his food is locust and wild honey. There's nothing about John preaching repentance. There's nothing about his fiery, statements that he makes to the Pharisees. There's nothing about any of that. There's nothing about the kingdom of heaven being at hand. Not in the Gospel of John. The Holy Spirit did not lead the Apostle John to present John the Baptist in this way like the other Gospels. The other Gospels, Mark and Luke, present John the Baptist in a similar way. In several respects, though, John the Baptist is one of the most notable characters in the Bible. For example, John the Baptist is a subject of Old Testament prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 3, the Bible says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." And get this, this ties right in with the theme of the Gospel of John. "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." This was prophesied back in Isaiah concerning John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a miraculous birth, too. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And see with me verse 7. The Bible says in Luke 1, 7, "And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years." Skip down to verse 13. "But the angel said unto him, 'Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Pretty miraculous, where the Bible says that Zacharias and Elizabeth were well stricken in years. They were probably past childbearing age. Elizabeth was also barren. They had no child all of their married life. John's a pretty notable character. The Bible says of John the Baptist that he was filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. The Bible tells us that John the Baptist was a man who was sent from God to prepare the way of the Lord. He had a special message, purpose, and ministry directly given by God. Of him, the Lord said, among them born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. What a statement. I think that statement refers to positional greatness, meaning as the forerunner of Jesus Christ, he held that position, because the very next words that Jesus says in that very same verse, he says, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, greater than John the Baptist. And so whatever that might mean, it's still very notable that those were the words of Jesus Christ concerning John the Baptist. John the Baptist had the high honor of baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, or the forerunner of Jesus Christ, had a unique and a challenging ministry. It was very short, but it was very impactful, as we'll see. I think it's also interesting that not only is John the Baptist presented differently in the Gospel of John, not the same as the other Gospels, but Jesus Christ himself is presented in a different way in the Gospel of John. Remember when we read in Matthew concerning Jesus Christ that he was one who had his fan in his hand, he would thoroughly purge his floor, he would burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire? Jesus is not mentioned or described that way in the Gospel of John, and there's a reason for that. John's presentation of John the Baptist and John's presentation of Jesus Christ is again to highlight and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and his deity, that he is God in the flesh. He is presented as the Lamb of God. He's not presented as the judge, the righteous judge who's going to burn up the chaff. He's not presented as the king who's going to rule and reign. He's presented as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And this becomes most significant and a great blessing when we rightly divide the word of truth. We start to see and understand the intense meaning in the inspiration of the Spirit of God in John as he penned these words concerning John the Baptist. He's not presented as this fiery preacher. He's not presented as this, one who is not intimidated. He's not presented in any way like the rest of the Gospels, because his ministry and his purpose was particular. And it falls right in line with the theme of the Gospel of John to exalt Jesus Christ and magnify his deity. So we're going to dig into this passage of Scripture. Turn back to John chapter 1. We'll see how far we can get this morning through this section as we consider Christ's forerunner, John the Baptist. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Lord, I pray that you'd help us with the Word of God today to enlighten our understanding of it, and then, Lord, apply it to our heart and our life. Lord, that we can receive truth from it that is impactful. Lord, that would change us. And Father, that we could, Lord, become more and more what you want us to be, the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May he be magnified and exalted, lifted up in our heart, our mind, in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Consider verses 19 through 23, and I gave you that overview a few minutes ago. In these verses, this section here, we find the Jews' inquiry of John. Verse 19, and this is the record of John, that's John the Baptist, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." Now, we got to understand the context here. We need to understand that there was a great stir that had happened because of the appearance and the preaching of John the Baptist. That whole entire countryside, regions round about, was all in a flurry and a stir because of this preacher who came from the wilderness, who had, you know, clothes like camel's hair, who ate locusts and wild honey, who might have been considered, you know, a prophet of old from the Old Testament. This fiery preacher named John the Baptist, there was a stir that was going on. Go back to Matthew again, keep your place here, but look in Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew 3 and verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair," and all of, and so on. We read all of these. You get down to verse 5, though, and the Bible says, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." John created quite a stir. Multitudes of people were flocking to this strange preacher in the wilderness. Many of them had been saved. Many of them had been baptized by him. Many of them had become his disciples. And it caused people to start to wonder something. Go over to Luke chapter 3. Luke 3. Look down to verse 12. "Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, What shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Look at verse 15. "And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not." Because of his preaching, because of his ministry, it caused people to start to wonder. "And all men mused in their heart whether he was the Christ or not." This stir that was generated by his preaching and his teaching and his following and causing people to wonder, if he the Messiah? That stir obviously was known to the religious leaders of the day as well, and it got them questioning the very same thing. And so we read in our text in John chapter 1 that they sent an official delegation of Jews to question John as to who he was and why he was doing what he was doing. So go back to our text there in John 1. And we see this in verse 19, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" Now we notice a series of questions in these verses, and these series of questions reveals to us one particular thing. It reveals to us the ignorance of these spiritual leaders. In verse 19, they said, "Who art thou?" But then in verse 20, he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Now, we don't know The only question that they asked is, who are you? Who art thou? But there's an implication behind the question, and we understand what that implication was based on John's answer. John said, I am not the Christ. You see, they didn't say, are you the Christ? They said, who art thou? But John understood what they were getting at. They knew of Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah. Luke indicated to us that the people were rife with messianic anticipation. The people were full of anticipation, and they mused in their heart, is this the Messiah? Well, John's reply in verse 20 implies what the question was that they were asking, and it reveals the spirit behind the question. They were hostile. There was hostile intent in this group and in this particular question, because to them, John the Baptist was an interloper. To them, John the Baptist was an outsider. He wasn't part of the religious system of the day. John the Baptist was getting all of this attention from all of the people, and they didn't like it. And they said to him, who are you? What are you doing? Who gave you this authority, basically, to do what you're doing? I mean, John the Baptist wasn't part of their system. He wasn't trained in their schools. He didn't have a position of honor in the temple ministrations. John wasn't affiliated with the Pharisees. He wasn't affiliated with the Sadducees or the Herodians, the three major religious sections of the day. So where did John get his authority to preach repentance? Where did John get authority to teach these people? You notice we read back in Luke how people were asking him questions. What should we do? And John was giving instruction. This is what you do. All the attention was on John. And so the Jews sent a delegation to him to say, who are you? Where did he get the authority to baptize, to teach, and so on? One can imagine the tone with which they asked, who art thou? Surely they thought they could intimidate John. Just like everyone else, they sought to control. But John simply says in verse 20, he confessed freely, I'm not the Christ. But that answer didn't seem to satisfy them. So they said, okay, if you're not the Christ, then are you Elijah? Look at verse 21. And he verse 21 says, and they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? Why did they ask this question? All right, if you're not the Christ, are you Elias? Why did they ask this? Well, because there was a general expectation of the Jews at that time that Elijah would again appear on the earth. Go over to Matthew chapter 16 with me here. Keep your place in John 1. But look in Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Of course, John was already dead. Some, Elias, and others, Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And so as Jesus is asking the question, who do people say that I am? Some people were saying that he was Elias. There was an expectation that Elias or Elijah would again appear on the earth. You skip over to Matthew chapter 17 and look in verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? There's another indicator of the thinking of the day. They asked John the Baptist, are you Elias? Because there was some general expectation of the Jews at that time that Elijah would again appear on the earth. But that actually had some scriptural foundation to it. Go back into the Old Testament to Malachi. Malachi in chapter 4, Malachi 4 in verse 5 says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And so these religious leaders knew the Old Testament prophets. They knew this prophecy, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And so it had some scriptural foundation. This prophecy in Malachi, though, has reference to the return to the earth of Elijah, but to perform a ministry that is just before the second appearing of Jesus Christ, similar in character to that of John the Baptist before the first public appearing of Christ. And John's reply to them was this, emphatically, I am not Elijah, Elias. John had a lot in common with Elijah. His work was very similar in character to the future work that Elijah would have, but he was not Elijah himself. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 17 that John the Baptist went before Christ in the spirit and power of Elijah. Verse 16 of Luke 1 says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so they asked the question, are you the Christ? He said, I'm not the Christ. They said, are you Elias? He said, no, emphatically, I am not Elias. So look at verse 21 in our text then. They said, and he saith unto them, I am not. Here's their next question. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. That prophet. What prophet? The one that was predicted by Moses in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. See, these guys knew the Old Testament scriptures. And they came saying, who are you? We want to know. They didn't like the stir that was being created or the attention that John was getting. He had to be somebody important. Who is he? If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, in verse 15, just stay with me, all right? Hopefully you're learning something. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. And the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Skip to verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. So their question is, okay, if you're not the Christ and you're not Elias, are you that prophet? There was no name given to the prophet. Of course, we know that this was a messianic prophecy fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. John's answer, again, is no. And so here we go back to our text in John 1. What I'm saying is all of these questions reveal the spiritual ignorance of these spiritual leaders. And so they're like, all right, you're not the Christ, you're not Elias, you're not that prophet. Who are you then? Verse 22, and they said unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? All of these questions reveal the ignorance and the attitude of these religious Jews concerning the scriptures, concerning Jesus Christ. And I want you to see how John dealt with them. We don't find him presented this way in John 1, but when you look back in Matthew, you see exactly how John the Baptist dealt with these guys, which tells us what attitude they had coming into those questions. Back in Matthew chapter 3, we were there already a couple of times, but in Matthew 3, in verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. The attitude toward John the Baptist for stealing the attention away from them was an attitude that they also continued to carry on toward Jesus during his earthly ministry. This same attitude that they brought, questioning and so on, was an attitude they brought to Jesus Christ that turned into hate and unbelief in their heart. You remember how the Pharisees treated Jesus so often? With nothing but contempt and nothing but hate and pure unbelief, even with the miracles that Jesus performed right before their very eyes, the miraculous, and they completely ignored it, that it was from God because of the unbelief of their heart. But I want you to notice that Jesus said the very same things to those religious leaders as John. Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And I said all that to say this. There are none so blind as those who refuse to see. These questions that the Pharisees, that these Jews were asking John, there was an element, an undertone of contempt there. And they went through and asked all of these questions, showing their spiritual ignorance. And I'm simply saying that the ignorance was only there because they refused to see. And they did the same thing with Jesus Christ. And there are none so blind as those who refuse to see. And listen, I'm going to say this to you this morning. Those of you who sit in this room who've not been born again, you've not been saved, it is to you that I say these same words. There are none so blind as those who refuse to see. What do you refuse to see? The fact that the wrath of God abides on you. The fact that God's word condemns you. That God has revealed and said all that needs to be said concerning your future without Him. Let it sink in, friend, if you're not saved. The damnation of God, the condemnation and the judgment of God is on your head. Your eternity could start today. There are none so blind as those who refuse to see. You've heard message after message after message. You know the truth of God. You know what you need in your heart, and yet you refuse. My prayer is that God is merciful to you. There's not ignorance on your part because of a lack of knowledge. There's ignorance because you refuse to heed the truth. The Pharisees, the Jews, they were ignorant. But it wasn't because they didn't have access to truth or scriptures or knowledge. So we see the spiritual ignorance of these religious leaders. But the second thing that I want to point out to you this morning, and maybe all the time that we have left, is I want you to see the humility of John. Go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 22, the second part of it. Let's just read the whole verse. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. I want you to see the humility of John here. This was a very telling moment. Because they said, all right, you're not the Christ, you're not Elias, you're not that prophet. Who are you? What do you say of yourself? Well, John says, I'm a voice. Understand this. John was the one who was in the public eye. John was the one who was popular with the people. John was the one who was garnering all of the attention. In Mark 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, "There went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." The entire land, the entire region, the public eye was all on John. And when they asked him, "Tell us who you are so we can give an answer to those who sent us," John the Baptist could have made himself out to be some great thing very easily. He could have said, "I'm the son of a priest, Zacharias." He could have said, "I'm the one who's filled with the Holy Ghost from my mother's womb." He could have said, "I'm one of the most remarkable characters ever raised up by God and sent to the nation of Israel." He could have said that "I've been used of God and going to be used of God in a mighty way." He could have said all those things. "What sayest thou of thyself?" was the question. Pay attention, pay attention. Don't go to sleep. That is a searching question indeed. "What sayest thou of thyself?" What would you answer, child of God? We could learn a lesson or two from John's reply here and ask for grace in our own life to emulate his humility. And I think this is a lesson that is much needed in today's world of men and women who are lovers of themselves. Notice John's reply here in verse 23. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." "What sayest thou of thyself?" John simply says, "I'm a voice." There was a lot of humility in this statement here. And humility is of great price in the sight of God. Humility is a characteristic of men that God will use. You remember the Apostle Paul who said, "I'm the least of all saints. I'm the worst of sinners." That came from a genuine, humble heart. John said he was a voice. Now, what does John, the Gospel of John, say about Jesus Christ? That he's the Word, right? All right, follow this. Jesus is the Word. John says, "I'm a voice." What a contrast and what a picture. Why? Because a voice is simply a tool to express the Word. What is that suggestive of? Number one, a word exists in the mind before the voice ever articulates it. But you know what? That was the relation of Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, his forerunner. It was true that John was the first to appear before the public eye, and yet Christ, the Word, existed from all eternity past. John said it in verse 30. "He is preferred before me because he was before me." John says, "I'm the voice." The Word exists in the mind before a voice ever articulates it. Secondly, the voice is simply a vehicle or a medium by which the Word is expressed. That was John the Baptist. The object of his mission and purpose of his ministry was simply to bear witness to the Word and to the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Verse 34, "I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." A voice is simply a vehicle or a medium by which a word is expressed. You see the contrast here? Jesus Christ is the Word. John says, "I'm a voice. My job is simply to express him." Here's another thing that it's suggestive of. A voice is heard, but it's not seen. A voice is heard, but it's not seen. You know what? John was not seeking to display himself. He was in the public eye. He was preaching. He was popular. He was prominent. But his work was to get men to listen to the God-given message so that they might behold the Lamb of God. Let me say this to you this morning, saint of God. What would you answer to the question, what sayest thou of thyself? Surely you wouldn't answer, I'm an important saint of God. Surely you wouldn't answer, I'm living in an exalted plane of spirituality, like I'm pretty spiritual and probably more spiritual than you, Jordan. Right? Surely you wouldn't answer, I'm one who gives and gives greatly, and the giving that I give is greatly used of God. Luke 17 and verse 10 is an important passage. I want you to turn over there because it gives us the attitude of heart that we ought to have. Because self-exaltation in our own heart and our own mind would show that we've learned very little from the one who said, I am meek and lowly in heart. In Luke 17 and verse 10, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We've barely scratched the surface. We haven't done anything more than even what is just our duty to do. We're still unprofitable servants. What more can I do for the Lord? I'm simply saying this. May the Lord today make more of His servants John-like. Just a voice. Heard, but not seen. A voice that expresses the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a voice that points to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And finally, let me add this. A word endures after a voice is silent. The word endures after the voice is silent. The voice of John the Baptist has long been stilled by death. But the word abideth forever. I think these are some wonderful, powerful truths in the scriptures that show us the humility of John. John was prominent. John was popular. But when questioned, what sayest thou of thyself? He said, I'm simply a voice. A voice to express the word and the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. I bear record that He is the Son of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John wasn't trying to prop himself up. May we be a voice crying in the wilderness. Amen. As God's people, may we be a voice crying in the desert, the barren, spiritually dry wasteland of this world. May we be a voice that call men to prepare the way of the Lord in the heart. May our lives be lived in such a way that they point to and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, that men might behold the Lamb of God which can take away their sin. Listen, that's why we're supposed to exist, friend. Are you a voice? Or are you there to promote yourself? To live your own life? To do what you want to do? To heap pleasure upon self? Or are you, listen, friend, are you like John? Is that my purpose? My purpose for existence is to bear witness of Him. Next time we're going to talk about that, the witness of John, in verses 24 to 28. We're going to see again more humility in the heart of John, but we're going to look at his witness and his ministry, the purpose for why he did what he did. And we're going to consider more of the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And let's learn from his example. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use your word in our heart today. Lord, to re-examine even our own thinking concerning ourselves. What sayest thou of thyself? How do we see ourselves? How do we see our purpose? How are we living life? Is it truly reflective of Christ? Is it pointing others to Him? Am I a medium, a vessel, used to express the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ? And Lord, I do pray as well for one who's not saved here today. Lord, that they would not remain in their darkness, their blindness. Lord, as you call them, that they would respond and come into the glorious light. Lord, I pray that you convict their heart greatly of their pride, their sinful heart, their blindness in refusing to see, refusing to submit to the Lord. Accomplish your will and your purpose in Jesus' name. Amen.